You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, the Binge Aftertaste.
We found this in a playground. Professional. Very cool stuff. You know. Boom.
You think you should slam it around like that, Charlie?
Well, it's unmixed. You can't hurt it. This stuff is cutting edge. It's a binary liquid.
A what?
Like epoxy. Two liquids. Now, either one by itself, you got nothing. But mix them. Ricky. Like I said, very cool stuff. Now, with a package like this, you get a warm.
Get ready, binge listeners.
What do you call that shit?
We call it the Binge Movie Aftertaste Die Hard Retrospective.
You are about to have a very bad day.
Tell me about it.
Join Garrett.
Now you're the wrong guy in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Story of my life.
Batch.
Are you aiming for these people?
No. Maybe that mine.
And Ammon.
So you take this under advisement, jerkweed.
As they look at and dissect all five films of the Die Hard franchise.
We not want to help us.
White people.
That's right.
From John McTiernan's first revolutionary 1988 film.
Welcome to the party, pal!
All the way through John Moore's 2013 entry.
You're not gonna die today!
The boys discuss what works in the film, what doesn't, and the possibility of whether there could be more McClane mishaps on the horizon.
Piece of cake! Give us something harder next time!
So who do you listeners think you are? Hillary Clinton?
Please don't let me die.
Stop what you're doing right now. Unless it's driving McClane style. And listen to how bad a Christmas can really get.
Thanks for the advice.
Die Hard with a Vengeance, released May 19th, 1995. Budget on it was $90 million. Box office, $366.1 million. And is once again directed by John McTiernan. I am once again joined by my two co-hosts for the Die Hard series. First, the enigmatic Mr. Mike Batchelor. What's going on, Batch?
Woo, woo, woo. What up, my friend?
Not much, man. All set to talk about the third Die Hard. You watched it this week, right?
Oh, yeah. I watched it today. I revisited it. It's been like a decade since I've seen it the last time, but it is fresh in my memories.
And once again, back from... Oh, no, you didn't go to Lollapalooza, did you? The awesome...
Yeah, thanks, Scott Berger.
Neither of us were at Lollapalooza.
Neither of you assholes were there.
Fucking A, man. Good. Good stuff. I'm here. Good. Let's do this.
Good. We all set for Die Hard with a Vengeance. Let's get into our backstory with this film. Let me go to Batch first. Batch, when were you first introduced to this lovely film?
Well, as we've said in the first two episodes, we used to watch all the Die Hards on the old VHS bootleg tapes up at the cottage, so... I'm trying to remember. I can't remember what the mix was on this one, but I remember I was kind of thrown off with this one back in the day because it wasn't Christmas. John McClane was all over the place in New York City. I liked it, but it was not what I was expecting out of a Die Hard movie.
Oh, well. Do you still feel that way today before we get into it?
It's starting to branch out a bit.
Gotcha. And Ammon Gilbert, sir, what was your first introduction to this?
So I saw this movie opening weekend in the theater. I'm super excited for it. We were out of town visiting like my grandparents in this tiny ass fucking podunk town in the middle of California. And I was like, we're seeing this movie. So we're like, all right, let's go. And we go to the theater. It's playing. And it is the worst fucking theater. So here's the movie. A lot of explosions. The fucking movie starts with explosions. The sound comes from the screen. There's no surround sound in this theater. And I could barely hear the explosion. Like, I didn't feel it in my... Like, This is the days of THX theater surround sound. Like, it wasn't like fucking 100 years ago. Like, this was, I was very disappointed with my theater experience because the fucking, I have more volume in my fucking living room than when I saw this in the movies, but I fucking loved it. I mean, I'm a huge fan of this movie. I mean, I had the VHS tape, but like not just the regular VHS. I had the fucking gold case VHS, fucking deluxe widescreen edition.
Wow. Limited edition.
With the THX fucking bomb, like every time before it started. It was fucking awesome.
Emma, do you remember Brendan in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. That's why I was so mad, because I didn't get to see it there.
Yeah, that's where I saw this. I saw it, like you, opening weekend. I saw it with the director of Refuge, Teddy G. Me and him were pretty good friends at that point. We were friends for a couple years. And I remember very vividly because we had a marathon of the first two Die Hards before we went. And I remember it because his dad had handwriting that made Die Hard look like Dick Hard. And me and him just could not stop laughing at that fact.
Crappy penmanship makes exactly for a good laugh.
Yeah, but I mean, we saw this opening weekend. I still feel the exact same way now that I felt then. I saw it twice in the movies, as a matter of fact. And it is also another interesting experience because we saw a trailer. Me and Teddy just kind of looked at each other after this little trailer played, and we just looked and we were like, was that James Cameron's name we just saw? It was. But he wasn't director. We saw a trailer for Strange Days before this movie.
Nice.
And that made us very excited. Yeah. Very excited.
If I was in town, Garrett, you and I, we would probably saw the same fucking movie at the same theater.
Absolutely. I shit you not. We probably did see a few movies at that theater together with unknowingly. I mean, Terminator 2 and all those films, we probably did.
Yeah, I guarantee it.
Yeah, absolutely.
At some point or another.
Let's talk about the behind the scenes of this. First, we are not going for young upstart directors. They bring back John McTiernan for this one.
Great choice.
Fantastic choice. Do you know what he turned down to do this film?
No.
I'll remember it when you say it.
He was offered Batman Forever and turned that sucker down. He didn't want to do it.
Batman. What would a John McTiernan Batman movie look like?
You know what? When I read that this week, Batch, that's the exact thing I was thinking. I'm like, what the hell would a John McTiernan Batman look like? What would it feel like? I guarantee it wouldn't be as flashy and colorful as Schumacher's. But yeah. So
a lot of explosions.
A lot of explosions.
Yeah. It would have taken the franchise to a whole different level, right? Because didn't Schumacher go on to direct two of them?
He directed two. Two of them.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, it
would have been different.
Another thing, Samuel L. Jackson, of course, this is the big re-team. This is a year after Pulp Fiction. But this was not planned, let's re-team Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson film. In fact, Samuel L. Jackson had two scripts on his table. One of them was this, and one of them was a little film that he was going to do with Kevin Costner called Waterworld. And at the last second, he decided to do this.
Good choice.
He's so happy about that decision.
Absolutely.
Now.
Yeah. And then one more thing I wanted to mention. This is a script that was not originally written as a Die Hard sequel. It was a script written by Jonathan Hensley, who would go on to do the 2004 Punisher, and he would write parts of Armageddon. He did a script called Simon Says that Fox, once again, completely loved. They bought it, and they kind of converted this into a Die Hard film, and we're going to talk about it. But the first 40, 50 minutes of this is all Hensley's script, and then a lot of that's just kind of changed just to make it into a Die Hard film. But yeah, this was a totally different script originally.
Isn't that par for the course for like a lot of the Die Hard movies? Like they just shoehorn Die Hard in random scripts?
Yep. And a spoiler alert for future podcasts, the one they did write as a Die Hard film, well, it didn't turn out that well, but that's a couple down the road. We open the film, hot town, summer in the city, it's a summer day. You know, this is like
Christmas,
but you know, we're going to talk about it, but there are
tons of
Christmas is not absent from this film though, but
there's some lines here.
Lot of lines here and there. It's a feeling of comfort. And then bam, there's a bomb explosion and we're right back in Die Hard mode, boys.
So it's an interesting watch now, right? The climate of
the
world's so much different as the carefree days of the 90s where you can just go and blow up cities and not have it be superheroes and everyone's like fine with it.
Yeah.
It takes like a tone, but you know, it's still fun. I'm still having a good time. But yeah, it's like, oh, could this happen? You know, they couldn't make this movie now, basically.
No. Absolutely not. And in fact, when this movie was made, of course, 9/11 hadn't happened yet. But the bombings of New York did already happen. There were parked cars and garages that were blowing up at that time. So there, it was kind of playing off that. This was still looked at as fun. Ammon, you're completely right.
The first thing that kind of struck me about that explosion is like, wow, that was not CGI. Those cars blew up.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a shot in any McTiernan film that used CGI, and I can't think of one.
Oh, there's one in this one, only because I know that it's CGI based on, like, I remember watching their making of.
Oh, okay.
And it's the only CGI that I know that they use in this movie. Well, I'm sure the explosion at the end is CGI, but
yeah, that's true.
A shot that you wouldn't even guess the CGI is when he falls in the ground after his first Simon Says, uh-huh. And a cab has to slam on his brakes before smashing his head like a watermelon. That's all green screen.
Oh, that, and there's also another CGI shot that I'm going to talk about here in a little bit.
But it's not noticeable. Like, unless you knew that, you wouldn't know. You'd be like, absolutely. What? Really? No, they totally filmed that.
Yeah. So in all this chaos of the aftermath, we learned that the person who was doing this wants McClane, who was on suspension from the force. Funny how Simon, when he calls here, funny how he uses the saw, like, I want to play a game line,
Right.
Like, I want to play a game.
I want to play a game. No, Santa Claus. There's your first
yes.
Christmas. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Simon wants McClane in Harlem wearing a sign. Now, I'm not going to say what the name of the sign, what it says on the sign. If you've seen this movie, you know what it is. But that sign, Ammon, was also completely CGI. You're not going to put your star.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, that's fantastic CGI. You could not tell the difference. I mean, that's shocking to me.
Yeah. You don't want your star walking around the streets with a sign that says that.
In Harlem.
Absolutely. Yeah. We learned in the van on the way to Harlem that McClane's divorced from Holly and...
Separated.
Yeah. You're right. And that a cop bets his number and the lottery numbers, that dump trucks have been stolen. What I love about this, boys, with the return of McTiernan, we are once again just getting some great economic storytelling, not to mention fantastic dialogue. I'm finding all these lines funny. I'm laughing at these lines. Yep. I didn't really laugh too much last film. This one, I'm really having a good time with it, with all these characters.
You're having fun with them. You're it's good to see McClane back, but you're right. This one scene in the van, you get so much information about like, even if you don't realize it upon later viewings, you pick it up. Like, oh, the dump trucks. Oh, the guy's fucking badge backwards. Like, shit that you'll use later. It's not a wasted scene at all.
Mm-mm. I love that John McClane is all fucking haggard and hungover the entire fucking movie.
Oh, yeah. The entire
movie. Just complains the entire time. I had a real bad fucking headache, goddammit.
Son of a bitch!
And they use that as his grumpiness, right? As his gruffness.
Right. My only downside of this whole movie, to be honest with you, is I hate McClane's hair. Yes. Because he's in the era of him. He has hair. But he needs to go bald.
Yeah.
He's in denial. This is denial McClane.
It's before Unbreakable. Like, Unbreakable, I think, broke him and his hair.
Yep.
Right? Unbreakable, he shaved his head. But before that, like, Sixth Sense, it's just a really bad receding hairline, and I fucking can't stand it. It's the only downfall of this movie.
They couldn't have CGI'd some hair on him this movie?
Or just cut it all off. I don't know. Like, it's just bad. It's just really bad.
I remember.
Stringy and shit. Ugh.
Yeah, I do remember when he was promoting this movie, he went on Letterman. Again, I was a huge Letterman watcher back in the day. But he went on Letterman and he was wearing a hat. And I guess he was making 12 Monkeys at the time. And Letterman's like, why are you wearing a hat? And then Bruce Willis took it off and he was completely bald. And the audience just went completely nuts. Like, whoa, we weren't expecting that. So yeah, this was probably the movie right before that he just completely shaved it all off.
That's right. Yeah, that's awesome. Too bad they didn't fucking have the foresight to shave it off.
Absolutely. I completely agree. His hair is kind of distracting in this. I'll agree.
He just loses it. He loses his entire head of hair halfway through the movie. It just gets burned off in an explosion.
Hey,
I'd be down with that.
I'd be down with that as well. So while walking the streets with the sandwich board, we see people's reactions to it. There's one particular lady whose reaction just makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah, and his reaction to her is great too. Like, yes. He's just like, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah, I know.
No. He can't, you know, nothing he can do about it.
Yep. We don't know what it says until Samuel L. Jackson's character sees it. And again, completely Jesus. Economic. Yes.
Not, hey, Jesus. Zeus. They're saying, hey, Zeus, motherfucker.
Zeus, motherfucker.
Again, great dialogue, great lines. I found that to be a great bit. So, hey, Zeus. I'm sorry. Zeus helps McClane out of the situation, and we are then neck deep in a buddy action film, right? I mean, this is this is the formula, right, Ammon?
Well, it's buddy action, but it's also just a cat and mouse. I mean, it's like a literal cat and mouse game.
This is just a regular dude that runs the hawk shop / electronic shop.
But it's still a buddy cop movie. You're absolutely right. Well, you got these two cops. They don't get along, but they do get along, and they have to work together, even though they they're just ripping each other a new asshole the whole movie. I mean, it's what fucking Riggs and the Lethal Weapon movies have been doing, and Last Boy Scout and shit like that. Like, it's great. But it's a twist. And I love the fact that Sam Jackson just hates white people, and the fact, and they have all these they actually have some pretty good dialogue about race in this movie. Like, they're not wrong. Like, the things that they bring up to each other, even though they're ripping each other, they're talking shit, they're also bringing up some good points.
Also, let's not forget, Ammon, this was right after, this is a few years after the LA riots. We were in the midst of the OJ trial. Race was a huge topic in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And they're kind of playing off that, right? I mean, this Zeus character, I was called him Zeus. This Zeus character is kind of, he's more antagonistic than the people who have helped McClane in the past. And you almost feel like he is feeling the brunt of that pressure from the mid-90s of, OJ and LA riots and all of it, And he even says, and he tells those kids in the shop, he says, don't trust white people. I mean, it's a funny line the way it comes off, but at the same time, that's kind of seems like it's been his attitude his entire life.
Well, and it's the whole reason why he does what he does, right?
Yep.
He's like, I didn't help you to help you. I helped you so not fucking more people get killed tomorrow when a white person gets killed in Harlem.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. One white cop gets killed and a whole bunch more come with itchy trigger fingers.
I love when, again, I'm just going to point out just more of this fantastic dialogue. When the psychiatrist has kind of diagnosed exactly what this person wants, McClane wants, and he says, and McClane just kind of says, "What did you want to put on a dress and fuck me?" Fantastic! I forgot all about it. I laughed so hard when I watched that.
Yeah, and his lines every time he gets on the phone with Simon when he's just fucking with him, he's just fucking talking mad shit to him.
Yep. Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Oh my god!" Like, fucking calm down. And then Zeus jumps. It's the first conversation they all have. Zeus is fucking talking shit to him. Everybody's talking shit to Simon. And everyone's freaking out except McClane and Zeus. They don't give a fuck. Like, whatever.
That is great. When Zeus says, you can stick your well-laid plan up your well-laid ass. And what's great is everybody's sitting there in fear, but McClane has a huge smile on his face.
He's just laughing his ass off the whole time.
Oh, so great.
Finally, somebody gets him.
Yep.
McClane has found his soulmate.
What do you guys think of Jeremy Irons' choice of accent for Simon in this movie?
I didn't mind it. That's how I've known Jeremy Irons his entire career, actually.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah. Oh. What's wrong, Batch? You didn't like it?
You don't like
it? No, I do. Just later on when his American accent was just equally as bad as Gruber's American accent in the first Die Hard movie.
Well, it might have been the callback.
I like the fact that it's shitty because it would be really weird if it was a perfect American accent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's just a guy trying to pull off sounding like an American without really knowing what an American sounds like, kind of thing.
Yeah. We learned that about the liquid that houses the mixture of the bombs that Simon is using. Obviously, very powerful stuff. Or as we are told in another amusing bit of dialogue, very cool stuff.
He was a little too happy to show everybody this fucking explosive.
I love it too.
I love
that guy.
I do too. He
very is cool.
He turns into a hero by the end of the film, too.
He has a good arc.
You know what I'm thankful about? I'm thankful that the games that Simon's playing, they aren't that many. I was thinking, when I'm seeing him call McClane about cats and wives and bags, I'm thinking, okay, is this going to be the entire fucking movie? Fortunately, I think they play that just enough. McClane tells Zeus that the bomb they found was in Harlem to get him on the case, which is another great bit of storytelling. As John just kind of, he knows this is the way to get Zeus on the case. He's playing to his shop's safety. And
yeah, this movie doesn't really waste much time. It really does, once it gets going, a really good pace, and one scene leads to the next. There's no filler in this movie.
They get the 300-pound problem off the phone. Get on the phone with Simon, who says there's a bomb in the trash can, and this is where the riddles, like I said, they just kind of flock into Riddler territory at this point. Seven wives, seven snacks, seven cats, But I do like the bit of the guy walking up and giving Zeus a quarter or something when after he's on the ground.
Yeah.
Well played by Simon.
Yeah, and again, it's still early where you're not. I mean, I'm still with the whole Simon Says thing. Like, it hasn't worn its welcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's still new. It's still fresh. You don't know what this guy's going to do. Then you get, like, you're playing Simon Says because he doesn't say Simon Says. You get to know that they're watching him, you know? Like, it's a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. It's funny, and it has good setup for the next action sequence.
Yep. The real problem materializes as there's a train with a bomb on it, and this may be the highlight of the film for me. John hijacks a cab, and they go through the park. Some great back and forth between Zeus and McClane.
Are you trying to hit these people, McClane?
No, even maybe God doesn't know.
Maybe the mime. Fuck that mime.
Even God doesn't know what you're doing. All this shit. It's fucking fantastic. They're going through the park. McClane calls an ambulance and uses it like an offensive lineman. He's driving on sidewalks. God, what a fun fucking scene this is.
And then it doesn't stop from there. I mean, they get to a gridlock, and then he just, like, jumps out of the car, like, fuck this. I'm just going to get on the train. Like, there's the train.
Yeah.
Do I buy that he can just pick up a grate in the streets of New York and just lift it up and jump on a moving train? I feel like there's some safeguards that doesn't allow that to actually happen.
A couple locks underneath, a padlock or two.
They're very heavy, for example. But, you know, I'm still with it. Like, it's still like, all right, cool. Fuck yeah. Get down in there. Jump on that fucking train.
I also feel, at this point, like Willis is having a great time on this one. You know, you kind of got the feeling in the last one, he was just kind of going through the motions, I think. But this one, I think he's really having fun, and I'm having a blast watching him do it.
Yeah.
I do like what position Zeus eventually finds himself in as he runs through the station to the phone and is stopped by a very green cop at the same time the liquid's mixing and McClane heaves the bomb right through the back car.
Tell me that's not that cop's first day on the force.
It probably is.
Probably.
I wasn't looking for a backstory, but I kind of got that through how McTiernan was shooting it and the guy's hands were shaking as he's pointing it. Yeah, it probably was his first time.
Put your hands up, sir.
Yeah. Voice is cracking and shit. It's great.
Yeah. And again, fantastic explosion when this train goes off.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. The way the car is just like going through the entire station, like
sideways. And again, almost. doesn't look CGI.
No.
It's a fucking, they really flipped this train and scene of them running down in the freeway away from the sliding subway is fucking awesome. And they really filmed it. It was great. It's fantastic.
Really, really well shot. Absolutely. John can't figure out why Simon wanted that bomb to go off with such certainty, and we are then once again in the hands of the FBI, who is their usual brazen, useless selves in this fucking van.
I love it when they're like, "Do you know who this guy is?" And he's like, "No." Do you know who this guy is? No. Should I? Like, what? They're interrogating him, and he's just like, he doesn't give a fuck. He's like chewing his nails.
Yeah.
He's like looking out the window, like, "Are you gonna
get to the point?
Wasting
people?
My time?" Yeah, so funny.
Yeah, well, now that you mention, I do have this burning sensation between my toes. He's not taking this serious at all. But we learn 40 minutes in that Simon is indeed Hans Gruber's brother, as well as the identities of his henchmen. That's
I love this twist. Like, it's a twist. Too. It's a full blown, like, you don't know it going into it. You're sitting there in the theater. It's a reveal. It's fucking kind of mind-blowing, to be honest with you. You're just like, what? Agreed. Like, who saw that coming?
Yeah, I completely agree. And doesn't it seem, Ammon, at this point, that McTiernan... This seems like a complete sequel to that first one, more than the second one. And I almost feel like they're trying to push that second one aside. And John didn't really rescue Holly from a band of airport robbing thieves. He really wants this to be the real sequel to that first film.
And the funny thing is, if you think about... So he's always even reminded about, like, the shit at Nakatomi. Yeah, remember that shit at Nakatomi? He never says...
thing in L.A.
He never says, "Do you ever hear about that fucking airport disaster a couple years ago where I saved everybody?"
Mm-hmm.
He never says that in any of the movies, ever.
Nope.
But Nakatomi is always brought up.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second movie that he's brought up. Both sequels bring it up, but nobody ever thinks back to what happened at the airport. So, yeah, you're right. McTiernan's just basically erasing because it has no consequence to this movie. Like, part two has nothing to do with this. Part two doesn't have to exist for this to happen. The part one does. Not so, just for fucking Hans, but for the wife, the, you know, Bonnie Bedelia or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Simon bluffs by saying there's 2,400 pounds of explosives in a school and it is here. We finally have visual confirmation of Simon, played by Jeremy Irons. Interesting seeing him in such a mega budget production.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I think I've probably seen him in what? Remains of the Day? What was the one he did in Cronenberg? Dead Ringers? But I really dig him here. I really do.
I think he's good.
Nobody's Hans Gruber, but he's up there.
He's Hans Gruber's
he's his brother. He's not better than his brother, but he's still pretty good. The Gruber genes are running strong through Jeremy Irons.
And I really like the reveal, too, because it really makes perfect sense why he just wants to fuck with McClane.
Funny, almost prolific Donald Trump reference at the dump truck.
Yes,
yep.
Oh, I got that, too, today.
There's also a Hillary Clinton reference a little later in the movie,
which
I found equally as amusing.
Yeah.
The 42nd president, Hillary Clinton.
They don't know how close they were to that, by the way.
They have no idea. Who knew?
Yeah.
Die Hard with a Vengeance called the election fucking 20 years later.
That would have been
so awesome. Die Hard with a Vengeance takes place in 2017.
Simon's plan is in full swing, right? I mean, here we see it. McTiernan uses Johnny Comes Walking In, which
yes, that was a weird choice.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think it rings to the same fucking whatever he used in the first one. It was more Christmassy. I don't remember the name of it. The Ode to Joy. So it's like, to me, it's the same kind of thing. It's just different. I love it. It gets me pumped as the scene unfolds. I know what's coming. Like, this is the reveal of the
what the real plan is
of the heist. This is the heist that they got going on.
Surprise! It's a heist. Fucking Grubers.
This chick's inclusion is also weird because in actuality, this actress, she's not actually an actress. She's a coffee house lounge singer. Of all things.
Really?
I've actually seen
badass her. Badass character in the movie, though.
Oh, she's fucking awesome. This is funny seeing her wing a knife and have a cigarette hanging in her mouth the entire time. I mean, she has no lines.
And, right, she doesn't talk at all. That's right, that's weird.
Yeah, but yeah, she said, it's just interesting, like, McTiernan cast a coffee lounge singer as the main squeeze of the head bad guy. It's just funny. McClane and Zeus, they book it to a payphone in the park, and they fill jugs of water to dismantle a bomb that McClane arms by opening the suitcase. Not sure how I feel about the 4 gallons of water bit.
Nope, I don't like it.
Yeah.
All this makes sense when you think about it.
It has no, it makes, like, they don't understand, and then all of a sudden they figure it out, and it, to me, I'm sitting there like, they said exact. There's no way you guys are exact.
Yeah.
Their math is fucked. It makes no sense.
Zero. In fact, this whole middle section, I'm going to go ahead and say that, I mean, we've been giving a lot of compliments to this movie, as it deserves, but this whole middle section, as the heist is going on, and this little kid's game of theirs is going, it kind of drags for me. It doesn't seem like much is going on in this middle section.
Well, it's kind of like the point, because, like, McClane and Zeus have been chirping each other almost the first half of the movie. This is kind of where they start to get on the same page.
True. I guess that's a good point. That's a good point. The antagonism is pretty much almost gone.
I'm down with it. I mean, I get why they did it. It's never bothered me before. They got to slow shit down and reveal the heistiness going on and everything else.
McClane stops some kids from robbing a store. He gets an aha moment as one of the kids tells him that they can rob City Hall. So that's what gives him the hint that, they must be robbing a bank. So he heads into the Federal Reserve Bank and it has come time to answer a question. Why does Simon waste not one but two opportunities to kill Zeus? Two opportunities.
So this is the first one when he gives the bomb back, right?
Yes. This is the first one. And then the other one, of course, in the ballpark later on.
Because Zeus is part of the plan.
No, I think the second one, they're waiting for an answer. I want to say that, did he actually give the answer not to shoot?
Yeah, he said it on the phone. Mm-hmm. He said, let him go.
But did he say when he was at the when he was at the ballpark? Because I feel like they have that conversation before he's actually at the ballpark. And then the guy's on the phone asking, or maybe I'm just.
No, they called him and he said, I think just something like follow him, see where he goes.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. But I don't think he ever sees Zeus as a threat. Like, Zeus isn't part of his game. He just becomes part of it. Like, he's never planned Zeus being a thing. He's just this fucking good Samaritan. He doesn't give a shit.
Good point. Yeah, because he just wants this guy being there.
He wants the money and he wants to fuck with McClane. That was his whole fucking goal.
Exactly. So like this other guy, he's not gonna just kill him. Like you don't get the cold heartedness from Simon like you got with Hans. Like Hans would have shot his ass. He didn't give a fuck. Simon, he just wants the money and he wants to fuck with McClane. But like he doesn't really do anything maliciously violent to anybody else, really. Not really. The other guy, the big tall fucker that throws McClane by his ankles later in the movie, like that guy's pissed because he's not calling the shots to kill him. He's like, "You fucking just kill him already," you know. Mm-hmm. And Simon's like, "Yeah, nah, we're good." Just fuck with him.
Yeah, it was just weird when.
It's a little odd. It's a little odd.
Yeah. McClane walks in on laundry day and finds a.
Yeah, I loved how he tried to straighten up his button up his shirt.
so great, and finds a thug wearing his partner's numbers. Fantastic fight in this elevator.
Loved the, I love
the
it.
One henchman that didn't speak English.
Yeah,
give it to that guy.
It brings back some of the violent grittiness of that first film, doesn't it, Ammon? Like,
Oh yeah.
He blows the guy's head off. The blood splatters all over the fucking inside. He fucking just destroys everybody in this. In the elevator, but at the same time, like it's not like he just single-handed. I mean, he does, but he gets his ass kicked a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which is just great Die Hard. Like, he's not Schwarzenegger. He's just a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking shit up.
It's one of the things that make Die Hard Die Hard is McClane at one point in the movie has to get the shit kicked out of him at least once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
He runs into Zeus in the underground, and Zeus finds himself a take-home gold bar. McClane finds himself tracking down a beautician. A truck driver. That's another line I always liked. Are you a truck driver? No, I'm a beautician. Of course I'm a truck driver. Again, just razor sharp dialogue.
Oh, yeah. That guy's great.
He's so good.
The tour guide.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The look on Willis's face as he's listening to this dude just talk about the history of fucking New York and all that. Just so crazy.
And then
so
this good. Fucking tunnel in 1905.
Do you know what they found there? No, Jerry.
What did you tell me?
Yeah. I love this scene with McClane dealing with water in the underground.
It's so good. He basically surfs a dump truck.
Mm-hmm.
Before getting shot up through the fucking drainage ditch. A great timing, too, to be shot up like that just as Zeus happens to be driving by at the same time.
That's what we just said.
Very impeccable timing with that guy.
He did say, meet me here, you know, but I do remember that scene of McClane just flying through the air. I remember that scene, that part just got a huge laugh in the audience when I saw it. Like they lost their shit on that scene. Yeah, it is very... impeccable timing on Zeus's part to be there at that point.
But when he, you know, when they blow the dam, this is when Simon kind of says, fuck it. Like, I'm done fucking with this guy. Let's just kill him.
Yeah.
You know, like he makes a call. Like, yeah, all right, just fucking blow the dam. Let's drown him out. Let's do it. But I love the dialogue when he gets on the radio. Hey, fuckhead. Yeah, you, fuckhead. Like, I used fuckhead for so long after seeing this movie. Like, that was my go-to line.
That's fuckhead. Fantastic. That's
so good.
Fantastic. You know what I like about this movie, too, boys? Like, it feels so different than the other Die Hards. Because the other Die Hards, they were, like, in a confined space. Like, he was in a building or he was in an airport. Here, I mean, they're using all of New York at this point. I'm surprised they didn't have a fight in the Statue of fucking Liberty. But I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, they switched up the formula and it totally worked.
It's definitely working, absolutely. No Reginald L. Johnson, though, which is, I thought maybe he would have a scene. All he had was he was a host of a making-of documentary of this, and saying the entire time, I wish I was in this movie. But,
that's funny.
Yeah, no, he wasn't in this.
But it feels forced. I mean, absolutely. If he showed up at this, I mean, the other one, it's a little forced, but sort of makes sense, because they work in the same precinct or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he's in the cop in L.A. now. Yep. Yep. But like, if he's back in L.A. or he's back in New York, like, why would he call his L.A. buddy? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It'd be weird.
This movie should have been him and that guy instead of him and Samuel L. Jackson. I want to see a cut of this movie with those
two.
No way. It wouldn't have worked.
Reginald couldn't keep up with him. He's too fat, and he's not funny enough. He's
just eating Twinkies the whole fucking movie trying to keep up with McLean.
Sam Jackson is calling people motherfuckers and hates white people, and that's awesome. Damn, Sam Jackson's doing what Sam Jackson does.
That's true.
Reginald, fucking Family Matters guy, I'm sorry. He's not. I don't want to see him. He's in the first one. Good. He's on a radio, and he doesn't fucking move. That's perfect. Have him running around fucking out of New York blowing shit. Nah, fuck that. Sam Jackson's perfect.
Completely on Ammon's side on this. It's,
no Walter Peck in this movie either.
No. I was happy to not have him in this
movie. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. A fantastic car chase ensues. Very
exciting. My favorite. I think this is my favorite action scene in this movie.
Me too. I think it might be. It's one of my favorite of the entire series. Like right next to the plane jumping off the building in that first film. Just very exciting. Such a diehard type style.
And it's like thrown in the middle of like some other scene, like
You
know, it doesn't really play it up, but all of a sudden you're just in the middle of this car chase. You're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you don't see it develop, but you see like you're right in the middle of it. Exactly.
Fantastic. Yeah.
McTiernan's
cut the wire to the emergency brakes.
I love it. I love when he spins that shit around and he's just fucking shooting out the window as he's turning around on that dude. It's so good.
And he builds it up too. McTiernan builds it up because McClane's like, "Hold the fuck on!" Like that's when you know, oh shit, something's about ready to go down.
It's an airbag in this car on your side, but my side, oh hell no!
Just perfect 90s style action. McTiernan's working with a lot of cars in this movie, and all these scenes with them are totally working for me. I mean, you got to think about it. That scene of them going through New York in that fucking cab, that had to take a shitload of preparation and coordination, and he's doing it so well. Fuck, what a good time. And then also that scene of McClane turning around in that car, that was the scene I remember most from the trailers. You know,
That's really good from the trailer, too. And then they, like, open up, and he's like, you need your, do you forget your AAA card or something like that? That's from the trailer.
Straight from the trailer. Exactly. They get to the bridge. McClane says they shouldn't jump because it will kill them. But
yes. I can make it.
Is this kind of where it goes into unbelievable territory? Because they do exactly what they say not to do and it doesn't kill them. It just, it goes
No, they're closer to the ground. I'm defending the ridiculousness of it all. but like, it's definitely not as bad as them jumping from the bridge because, you know, they're closer, but not much. And they swing a little bit from the wire or whatever. Like they swing that guy right down. In half. They cut that fucker in half. So if that breaks their, like, you know, the inertia or whatever, them falling to the ground. And they're pretty fuced up too when they hit the ground.
Positive.
It's not like other movies where they fall like that and break something and then they just get up and walk away. Like, they're pretty fucked up.
Zeus makes his way to Simon after McClane gives him a gun. And, you know, this is kind of an asshole move by McClane. He tells him how to shoot the gun, but he doesn't tell him to take the fucking safety off. What an asshole. You know,
there's a lot going on. You know, they can't do everything. But yeah, it's totally like, what the fuck?
Zeus's line, just because I'm black doesn't mean I know how to shoot a gun.
Yeah.
Although I love the calmness of Simon as Zeus, he walks in with this gun and Simon's not even fucking batting an eye. He's peeling an egg and he's just kind of looking over and he looks up and he grabs the gun. He says, you perhaps take the safety caps off. And shoots him right
in the fucking leg. Blows his kneecaps up.
Yeah. That's pretty great. So good. Plane gets into it with a big baddie. And it reminded me a lot of the one this fight reminded me a lot of the one he had with Carl in that first film.
Oh, yeah. It's lots totally of chains. Carl fight.
Yeah. Yep. McClane getting tossed around completely reminded me of that first film. And I think that was probably intentional, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. The dude, I mean, they even look similar. Big, giant fucking German guy.
Yeah.
Gets his ass kicked, gets chained. But, like, he doesn't kill him, you know. They don't leave it for the end of the reveal, but so it worked. Not a complete ripoff.
No.
Do all these henchmen guys go to the same fucking steroid plant as Ivan Drago?
I don't know, man. They're all pretty big. That one in the elevator next to fucking Willis. I mean, he was fucking. He had to be at least huge. Fucking 6'7".
He literally swung McClane like a fucking baseball bat up against the fucking wall.
He did. Yeah. But it makes it exciting. It's an exciting fight.
Yeah.
That's why I like McTiernan. McTiernan pushes it, but he never goes over that edge of unbelievability. I mean, he even made like that Predator seem like real in that first Predator film. Like, he never goes beyond the believability factor. And that's why I've always enjoyed his films.
Yeah.
All the while this is going on, boys, Zeus's kids are in that school. So this ball physicist from the beginning of the film that we mentioned earlier, he's trying to dismantle the bomb, but it goes off complete with a dangerous mixture of cake syrup. But this, you know,
there was no fucking bomb at all. Just the balls. He knew that that would have been the perfect ruse just to get away.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I want to go ahead and compliment the editing in this film because it's such a fantastic editing job. We learn this at the exact same moment McClane does. And it's a true diehard moment, right? Like, this is when we learn the real plan. We learn what the main guy's main motives are until we don't. But here it's like we're looking and McClane seeing the bomb sitting there. And it's like, fuck, this is the plan. And it's such a good twist.
I think that's another difference between Simon and Hans. Hans, there would have been a fucking bomb. Simon, there's no bomb.
Definitely. You know, he makes the line, we're not monsters.
Hans would have blown up the kids, really?
Hans definitely.
He was planning on blowing up a roof with hostages on the roof and the FBI. Like, he didn't give a fuck.
Hans would have had the Chinese guy shoot those kids.
True.
Hans would have done it.
I love McClane telling Simon that his brother was an asshole.
Yeah, he was an asshole.
Hey, fuck it. Now, this is the point where it is the only point in the movie where there was a gap in there. I found a flaw in a key moment, and that's when he gets thrown his Advil, right, or whatever that is broken, and he catches it in his lap. The next moment, when he gets his handcuffs off, he jumps out of the top of the bomb and starts looking for the fucking thing. At no point would there ever been a chance for him to put a fucking that bottle of Advil in his pocket.
You're right.
The shit explodes. He finds it as he's recuperating from, you know, being at the bottom of the ocean. And that's when it all comes. Like, no, sorry. There's no way there was ever time for you to take that bottle and put it in your fucking pocket, you cocksucker.
Yeah. In fact,
that's the only part that, like, I can even flaw this movie with. It's like, what the fuck, dude? Come on.
Well, I want to go ahead and say it's from here on out that I kind of lose myself in this film. I can't really go with it because, you know, when he gets this aspirin for that hangover and, you know, again, the hangover coming into play, right? He's like, I had a bad headache all day. And they jumping off the ship, as Amos says, you know, there's no way that it would have been in his pocket.
It's a great, great scene, though.
It's a fantastic scene. Fantastic scene. But I'm just going to say, I just hate the ending of this movie from here on out.
Once the bomb explodes, and they're like, so once he finds the Advil in his pocket, leaves Holly at the fucking on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he puts it together that he's going to Canada or something.
Yeah, yeah. They're in Montreal.
Montreal.
So he found the name. Let's go through this. He found the name of that truck stop on the bottle. Is that right? That's how he knows where they are?
The truck stop. Well, I don't know if it's a truck stop or the border.
It's French. It was French on the bottom of the bottle. I think that's what set him on, ticked him off.
Oh, that's so terrible.
Or like he knew, like, because it was the name of the store. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you see the big neon sign. I don't remember what the sign said, but it was basically some French shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, have fun in Canada or something like that. So it was a border town sign. So I guess if you've like frequent that border town enough, you would recognize the name and put two and two together.
But here's the thing, Ammon. From here on, like, now John goes and tracks him down in this helicopter. John has absolutely no reason to take Zeus with him on this helicopter.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, why the fuck is Zeus there?
Here's the thing, though. So I got an answer for you.
Okay.
Zeus is in the helicopter already leaving. John's on the phone. When he realizes it, he tells them to stop and makes him go do this mission. Like, they were leaving with Zeus on their helicopter before he even got on. So, like, it wouldn't make sense for Zeus to be on there. And then he's like, nah. True. I'm going to get on the helicopter, and now you got to get off the helicopter. He probably gave him the option. And Zeus was like, yeah, let's kick this motherfucker down. And so he just, like, he was all in for the ride. He just happened to be on the helicopter that John needed.
Zeus just wanted to go for a helicopter ride. He'd never been in a helicopter before.
Right, because he's black, and black people don't ride helicopters.
So they go to where Simon is celebrating by fucking the coffee lounge singer. By the way, the storyline of Simon stuttering you would have thought that that would have played into the story a little bit more. It really does, and Healy does it like a couple times.
I think he made it up.
Really?
He did it to throw him off because he makes fun of it himself at some point with the other henchmen.
Yeah, at the victory
scene. He starts huttering. Yeah, yeah. He just does it to just fucking... I think they threw that in there to be like, look, they're just fucking with him the whole time.
Those fucking idiots bought it.
Yeah, they bought it. Right. They thought I was a fucking moron and I stuttered and they thought they were getting me mad. But he was just fucking with them. So I took it as it was just a made up thing, a tick that he invented to throw him off the trail.
Interesting. I never thought about it like that. So John finds out he has two bullets left, exactly like the end of the first film, by the way. When he's on the ground.
And those shitty bullets, too, they have for that
fight. I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible bullets.
And that, which makes the point of them flying in the helicopter absolutely asinine because he ends up on the ground anyway. I do like the excitement of the scene. Like, he shoots a power line that tangles with the helicopter, takes it down. Action-packed finale, one we have come to expect from Die Hard. I just hate how it all kind of came about in that last, few minutes. But it is exciting.
I love the line. Say hello to your brother, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Like,
me too.
That's not forced. There's nothing forced about that. Say hello to your brother. Oh, fuck you. 90s action fucking one-liner to say fuck you, you're out.
Agreed.
And it throws the yippee-ki-yay, which is what you're hoping for the whole time anyway.
Agreed.
Awesome.
Now, Ammon, have you ever seen the alternative ending?
I was going to ask you if you'd seen that. I watched that today, too.
I don't know. What happens in the alternative ending?
Completely different.
It is so different. It's almost noir-ish. Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so. So it basically, Simon gets away. So none of that helicopter fucking shit happens.
What?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Fuck that. It picks up like in some fucking, was it? French-German restaurant, and Simon's just sitting there chilling.
Hungarian.
Hungry. He got away. Sitting there fucking reading the paper, having a cigarette, and McLean walks in a fucking, a suit and a scarf.
Mm-hmm.
And they just banter back and forth for, 5 minutes.
He plays a game of Simon Says with Simon. And he has a...
McLean says, with a rocket launcher, that they keep turning every time Simon gets the riddle right or whatever.
Yeah. And then McLean asks him, what would save you right now? And Simon doesn't have an answer. And so McLean turns the grenade launcher like a game of Russian roulette. It points towards Simon. He pulls the trigger, and the answer was a bulletproof vest. And it kills Simon. It is completely different. It is so out there.
That sounds like horseshit.
You know what?
As McLean's walking away, he says under his breath, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
He walks away.
So stupid.
How did you see
that? Is it on YouTube or some shit?
Yeah. I think it is on YouTube, but I saw it is on the disc set that I have. They have it as a special feature on it. But yeah, I believe it is on YouTube. It was filmed before, I don't think they put any, they didn't slick it up or anything, so it's kind of a rough cut. So there's no music or anything associated with it. It's literally just those two talking. It's different, but it's not Die Hard-esque. Ending was, and there's no say hello to your brother or any of that shit in there. I'm not gonna say
the explanation of how he found him makes a little bit more sense than what happened in the movie, because he actually tracked down the prescription on the bottle and found out that he took that route.
Mm-hmm.
And he even says to him, I'm a fucking cop, you idiot. Of course I was gonna find you.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, I'm surprised you haven't seen this.
Actually, it sounds familiar. I probably have seen it, and I blocked it from my memory. It sounds so douchey to me. Here's McClane and
it kind of is.
And he plays Russian roulette. Like, it just seems like there's no excitement. Like, you're just, they had a chance to have a finale. I mean, say what you will about this finale, but at least it builds up. I mean, the big boat explodes, and then you're kind of like, oh, all right, that's crazy. And then it's like, oh, fuck, you found out where they are. And then he goes, and there's at least that escalates. This doesn't sound like that at all. I don't know.
And there's no Zeus with them at all. There's no, there's nothing.
I want to see that studio note that says, you know what I want to fucking see? I want to see McLean do some fucking riddles on Simon there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely.
I mean, maybe it was from the original script. Right?
I was just about ready to say that. Just about ready to say that. I think it was literally from that original script. And they just kind of put it in, and it just didn't work with the McLean character. It just didn't seem like McLean. It didn't seem like the Simon we'd seen the entire film. like Simon's like, you know, he succeeded, but he feels kind of defeated towards the end of it. And it's a different place than what they were the entire film. And that's why it doesn't work. Yeah. All right, boys, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give it? Batch, let's go to you first, sir.
I give it an 8.
8.
Still had a lot of fun with it. Loved all the car chases. Loved the action in it. And yeah, it still holds up, so I'll still give it a solid 8.
Ammon Gilbert.
This is a 9. This is an easy 9. You know, I think back on I gave 2 an 8. And mm-hmm. I'm actually going to downgrade that to a 7. I feel better with a 7. After I thought about it a little more, I was like, you know what? 8 feels too strong. Now, that one's a 7, but this one is a solid 9. Like, I love this movie. I've loved it for the last fucking 20 years. Like, and it never gets old. It still holds up. It's funny as shit. The action's fantastic. Great dialogue. The chemistry between Willis and Jackson is, they've paired up a few other times after that. Mm-hmm. And for good reason. And I love the tone. Like, prior to seeing this in the theater, like, I never really put together that the Die Hard movies were Christmas movies. I mean, afterwards, for sure. So for me, I don't really give a fuck this isn't Christmas. In fact, I'm glad it's not, because those other movies, it just happens to be that time of year. Switch mm-hmm. shit up, dude. Why does it have to be fucking Christmas every time? Summer's a great landscape for it, or a setting. It's awesome. I fucking love this. 9 raging hard dick Simon said tacos on 10.
Plus, when a movie's released on May 19th, do you really want to hear Christmas being referenced every 10 minutes?
Yeah, fuck true. That.
You know?
I mean, for a summer block, like, this, the time of its release, like, this is the shit. Mm. And it still holds up, but, like, this is summer movie fodder. It's the definite, and they fucking pulled a hard R, like a hard R this fucking movie.
Yeah, in fact, it was rated X. His first cut was rated X. He had to trim it a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he have to cut?
I believe the elevator scene. I think he had to cut a little bit and a few more little tiny touches here and there. But yeah, they had to cut it. And of course, this was back when the MPAA would dickheads anyway, and you know they wouldn't let anything get passed. But yeah, he had to cut it. Boys, if you were to guess, I don't know if you guys have checked this week, but what would you think the Rotten Tomato consensus is
on this movie? Like at a percentage?
Yes.
Rotten Tomatoes? That's probably like at a 85%.
Batch.
I'm going to go lower. I'll say maybe 65.
It is 51%, which is fucking ridiculous.
Oh, I had a feeling it was going to be low.
Yeah, it is
ridiculous.
But it didn't
seem to be that low.
And I got to say, revisiting this, I hadn't seen this in over a decade. It's been a long time since I've seen this. I've seen the first one since. I've seen the second one a couple times. I hadn't watched this in a very, very long time. This movie, I was shocked at how much fun I had revisiting this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is so razor sharp. The stunts are incredible. The car chases, as Batch has pointed out, are fucking fantastic. The ending, okay, I could do without. The middle section kind of drags for me, but I don't care, man. I have such a good time. I love the character McClane. There's nothing about this character I would change, especially in this movie. Maybe in future movies, we'll get to it. But here, he is impeccable. This is a solid 9 out of 10.
Yes.
The fact that it brings it up like full circle to the first one with like him being Hans Gruber's brother and all that kind of stuff. McClane's back in a tank top, not in a terrible fucking Christmas sweater. Yeah, right. Fuck, I'll go 9 too. 9.
You're going up to 9.
Oh, wow. Up to 9. All three of us. Yeah, this movie is just so much fun. And I'm ashamed that I haven't revisited it more over the years. Like, it's just.
Yeah. I keep it on rotation for sure, but it's probably been maybe 5 years since I watched it.
And you got to remember too, this was a movie that was, you know, this was coming on the tail end of all the Die Hard on a Blank. Like, we had all of those, all the ripoffs were coming out. Speed had come out the year before.
Are we not watching any of those as part of this retrospective? Because
no.
Every one of them.
No. One of them.
Van Damme, Die Hard in a hockey rink.
I love sudden death, yo. Let's do
one
it.
One of them was turned down by Willis and eventually turned into Speed 2. Oh. That was the one Willis turned down. You know, people
it
say
was gonna
a lot
be
of...
They were actually going to have a Die Hard on a
cruise
ship?
Ship. Yep.
Oh, my God. It's terrible.
Yep. Yeah, Bruce Willis said, nope, this feels like exactly all the ripoffs I've seen before. And people say a lot of bad things about Bruce Willis in this town, but you know what? His judgment when it comes to this character, at least at this point, was pretty darn good. Bringing back McTiernan was a great idea. All of it just works, man. It's just a fun film. I'm so glad I revisited it.
See Die Hard in a space station.
don't Ooh. Be surprised if we see that. Willis wants
McClane's in more. Space.
Yeah. All right, boys, that does it for Die Hard with a Vengeance. We will be back with probably our most antagonistic podcast, I do believe.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah. We go to Live Free, and then right after that, we go to A Good Day to Die Hard. But, boys, it's been fun at least revisiting this, what I thought was just going to be a trilogy back in the mid-90s, because Willis said it was over. Tiernan said he wasn't going to do any more. Bedelia was unheard from, and I thought this series was over. Lo and behold, 12 years later, we get the movie we will talk about. Thanks, boys. It's been fun dissecting this one with you. And
no problem.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
What was it you said to me before? Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Ho, ho, ho.
McClain!
Funny how...
That's my angry Death Sergeant, McClain!
Beautiful impression, Patch.
You gotta shake your fist.
Ho, ho, ho.
Love the bit of the Samaritan telling... I already said that. Well, they plan to well, late ass. Okay, never mind.
Ho, ho, ho.
Like, they're pretty fucked up.
Yeah. I do love that Samuel Jackson recreated this scene with The Rock and the regular guys.
Did he really?
Was remember
it the
that?
Regular guys or the nice guys? Was that the nice guys?
Regular guys. It was the one with Mark Wahlberg and
it's the other guys.
The other guys. That's the one. Yeah. Aim for the bushes.
Couldn't get that. So what was it? The Bachelor was the other guys, right? Say that line again, so that I could edit it in.
Okay, from the other guys. Aim for the bushes.
Yeah.
Where him and The Rock are on the top of the building, and they just jump off and immediately die hitting the pavement.
Oh, that's great. So they recreated. I don't even remember that movie. They recreated this scene, except they died at the end?
Yeah, essentially. It was because The Rock and Samuel Jackson are like the hotshot superstar cops. So, yeah, they just jump off the roof of the building and they immediately just die once they hit the pavement.
Oh, that's funny.
Ho, ho, ho.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter and Facebook, buy some merch at bingemedia.net/shop, subscribe to our newsletter at bingemedia.net/newsletter, and don't forget,
I can't get enough of Super
Bob Odenkirk.